to This Song, the podcast that asks artists about songs that changed their lives. And look, it may sound overreaching to the point of uncool to say, like, songs change people's lives, but who cares about cool? It's how I feel, and it's how the people around me feel. Songs have a powerful ability to transform us, and hearing a song can help you understand yourself better. It can, like, give you permission to be the kind of artist that you're meant to be. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode, you'll hear from Leon Bridges, as well as Corey Reinisch and Dustin Meyer. Corey and Dustin are members of our KUTX Artist of the Month Harvest Thieves, and all three of them talked about songs that really led them straight to their own true artistic selves. First off, Leon Bridges. He came out with a record in 2015 called Coming Home, which is a big favorite over here at KUTX. He has this style that's rooted in the best kind of Sam Cooke soul, and he sat down with Art Levy backstage at the Austin City Limits Music Festival to talk about a song that shook up all his expectations of what he could do with music and led him to become the singer and the songwriter that he is today. And just a little spoiler alert, that artist is not someone you might expect. So here he is, Leon Bridges.
Yeah, for me, it goes all to Bright Lights by, from Gary Clark. Bright lights, big city calling to my head. Bright lights, big city calling to my head. Bright lights, big city calling to my head. As I, started to play guitar and hearing him on the radio, it's like you don't really hear a lot of black artists that are bringing that type of vibe. And so it just, made me very, interested to know who it was when I first heard it, And so it was just really encouraging to see, young black man bringing back, a very, blues and old sound.
Right, right. And, I mean, that's a pretty recent song. So how old were you when you heard it?
I was 24, yeah.
And what were you kind of listening to around, around the same time? Were you kind of listening to blues music? Were you listening to...
Around that time, I was listening to a lot of hip-hop, a lot of underground hip-hop, because I was dancing professionally at the time. Yep, the president is black, she black. Purple label on her back, but that dab is like blue. She take it straight to the head, then she look at me. She got ABHD. And so, I was more listening to a lot of stuff, to get ideas for choreography. And I wasn't really listening to any blues music. And so hearing that definitely opened the door.
Where were you when you first heard that song?
Yeah, I was actually on my way to class. It was one of the local radio stations, KXT, in Dallas. And I was on my way to class and pulled up in the parking lot, and the song comes on. And I mean, totally. And I'm thinking, like, is this an old song? But it still felt a little modern. So it was just like, just kind of playing with me. I was like, it was.
Was it one of those things where you had to kind of stay in the car to hear the rest of it?
I mean, I was actually late to class. I was just like, damn. I went up with a different person, came down somebody else. I know it ain't right, but it's all in my head. What I love about, Gary is that, for one, the dude can play some damn guitar, but two, he's a freaking
great R&B soul singer. I mean, like, you know, I hear freaking Marvin Gaye in there, you know, and some, you know, so many different influences, and nothing but respect for him.
And Bright Lights, the song, what was it that kind of drew you into the song?
Yeah, it was just the voice, you know. I mean, because my biggest thing, the first thing I hear is of course, like, the voice, melody, and phrasing, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, it just really gets you, you know. You're gonna know my name by the end. Yeah.
And those lyrics are just like, I don't know, there's just something so great about somebody saying, you're going to know who I am,
yeah,
like, by the end of the song.
Exactly.
Like, how badass is
yeah,
that?
I know, he just, you know, putting it out there, you know, confidence, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, such a great tune, man.
Baby, 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 I'm coming home to your tender sweet. You're my one and only woman. The world needs a bit of taste in my mouth, girl. You're the only one that I want. Wanna be around.
And below me, you can hear Coming Home from Leon Bridges' record of the same title. And if you'd asked me what I thought Leon Bridges was going to choose, I mean, I would have guess Sam Cooke or Marvin Gaye, but how cool is it that he chose a song from essentially one of his peers? Like, he needed to hear a black man who was playing music now, but who wasn't afraid to reference the past. And sometimes, like, we all need that. We need someone to do something and show us that, yes, this thing that is in my heart trying to make itself heard, it is possible. It can be done. Before we move on to Harvest Thieves, I'd like to take a moment and ask that if you like hearing about life-changing and powerful songs, please take a minute to leave a rating or a review for this song at iTunes. Making a podcast can be like sending a missive into the void. You're not really sure if anyone hears it, and your ratings and comments let us know that people are listening. Plus, they help the podcast in the realm of iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, you can subscribe to this song in iTunes, and then you'll get these episodes weekly. Like next week, you could get the episode with Benjamin Booker and Laura Patino delivered right to you. But back to this episode. Next up, we'll hear from two members of Harvest Thieves, Corey Reinisch and Dustin Meyer. The band has a new record out called Rival, and they're January's Artist of the Month here at KUTX. They both came into the studio and talked with me about songs that let them see that, yes, they could draw from the past and yet make music for the now, just like Leon Bridges felt when he heard Gary Clark Jr. Just a note, you'll hear Corey first and Dustin second. So here they are, Harvest Thieves.
I guess whenever we decided that this was going to happen, I immediately thought of A Cuff Rose.
Early in the morning, sometimes late at night. Sometimes I get the feeling that everything's all right.
That music just kind of spoke to me, and that album in particular, Anodyne, was an album where they were really building on some success that they had, and everybody was expecting their next one to be this big grandiose affair, and instead the band just decided, well, we're going to do live takes of traditional folk songs and you know, have it real scaled back with minimal overdubs, and it was kind of out of left field and a big left turn for them. And a lot of people thought it was a big risk for them to take, but that really spoke to me a lot. I don't know, it It's a simple song. It's all acoustic and there's no drums. There's a violin, a fiddle on it. And I saw Jeff Tweedy. He was the one who wrote the song. I saw him on a solo tour that he was doing across the country, and he actually played here at Hog Auditorium the first year that I moved to Austin, which was 2007. And on this tour, every stop, he would turn the PA off, unplug his acoustic guitar, stand at the edge of the stage, and at every show, he would end the show playing A Cuff Rose and singing out into the crowd and have everyone try to sing along with him. And I don't know, that kind of further solidified that song for me.
Well, what was that like?
It was very intimate and very intense. And before he cut the PA and cut the mic, he even said to the crowd, this song is... It means something to me, and I can't remember how he said it verbatim, but he explained it in that at the end of the day, it really is all about the song. And, I think that's the approach that they took when they recorded that in the studio. And if you listen to the song itself, I mean, it kind of hints around that ideal.
So really, that it just being about the song, not the production,
right,
not the stage presence of anyone, it's just the song itself.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It's all about the song.
Children in the playground, the folks in the home. Anybody, anywhere, who's ever been alone. Is everything...
You know, I grew up in a rural town, a small town in the middle of Texas, and my family listened to lots of old-timey country music. And so when I heard the mix of those two things that, you know, Uncle Tupelo and Whiskey Town were playing, it had this rock and roll sound, but it also sounded like home, and it also had this this old-timey feel to it. And I thought to myself, I always thought, well, that's really who I am. I mean, that's what my interests are, and it kind of, you know, hits ground zero for me. So I guess that's probably why I was so drawn to that type of music.
Was your family into country and rock at the same time, or was it mostly like my folks listen to country music?
They were probably heavy on the country side. My mom was she really liked she liked some rock music. My dad was actually a huge Creedence fan. But he also loved folk songwriters too. He's the one who, you know, introduced me to Dylan, and he was a big Gordon Lightfoot fan. To this day, I still love Gordon Lightfoot.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better.
So, you know, we probably leaned more on the countryside, and that's probably what I heard more of growing up, but there were some cool things that my folks introduced me to.
Was there a time that you stepped away from it, though, in the name of, like,
sure,
teenage rebellion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I listened to a lot of punk music in high school, and then, of course, when I was growing up, being in the small town that I lived in, it was hard to get access to any other thing that wasn't on the shelves at Walmart. So, you know, we listened to a lot of Nirvana and Pearl Jam and, you know, Alice in Chains, a lot of those bands that were coming out of Seattle. And they were good, but, you know, I think once I did leave Brady, which was my hometown, and got to expand my horizons a little bit, I found out there was a pretty big world out there musically.
Is everything cuts against the tide when I hear that sound?
And so Americana's kind of bridging this gap, and you're writing songs, and then you hear this song, you hear A Cuff Rose, and it's, the production is very, very simple. It's very, like you said, it's just about the song.
It is.
Did that kind of provide you with some kind of direction in your own songwriting, like to strip away unnecessary things? Or
whenever I heard that stuff, they went for minimal production experience whenever they were recording this album. But whenever I was learning how to play the instrument and, you know, picking up my guitar to practice, there were certain things in there that I heard were like, well, it doesn't have to be a big, massive production. I can play some of these chords just because I'm not experienced enough to take on some of the other things that I've been listening to. But it also drove home to me that if you have three chords and a good melody and a good story to tell, that's all you really need. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. And in fact, the bottom line is most of the greatest songs that have been written aren't all that complicated to begin with.
Do you remember, was there, other than like a direction or kind of an understanding that, you know, like a burgeoning understanding of what a song could be or how simple a song could be and how good it could be, was there a way that you kind of ended up like, was there a feeling that you got from that song? Like, was there a warmth or I can't place feelings in your mind, but like, was there a feeling about that song as opposed to other songs that you were hearing at the time?
There was, because that song kind of gives a nod to songs that had come before it. I mean, that song is about, you know, sing me a song that everybody knows, and I bet you it belongs to A Cuff Rose. I think it paid an homage to it that I was drawn to. And, you know, hearing those bands play that, hearing Jeff Tweedy and Jay Farrar write something like that, and, you know, them giving credence to some of these old-timey musicians that they may have grown up listening to, I don't know, I think that spoke to me, and I also think that's the right thing to do. And so, without sounding too heavy-handed, I just think that spoke to me very much.
I was lucky. I grew up with parents who had an appreciation for music. You know, they weren't musicians or anything, but they liked a lot of, you know, good music, and they had a lot of really cool records in the house. So my dad, and it was the classic thing, like one's a little bit country, one's a little bit rock and roll. So my dad had all these really cool, you know, country albums, some old country, and then they're both kind of, you know, came to age in the 70s. So he had a lot of like outlaw country. I love that stuff.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys.
And then my mom had a lot of really cool rock and roll records. And the one I remember listening to, and I don't know why, they gave us free rein to the records. You know, we could just go, you know, it was like little kids with records, and they never got on us. You know, like some parents are protective of stuff, right? You could break it and all this stuff.
Right.
And they just let us have it. So, yeah, I put Led Zeppelin IV on. And that, I mean, it just made me want to, like, I want to play rock and roll. Yeah, I want to play music, you know, whatever it is, right? And in particular on that record is Going to California.
Spend my days with a woman unkind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an aching.
Yeah, so it's probably one of my favorite songs on there, and it's just cool. You have this, you know, rock and roll band that plays, you know, all these really cool songs, and it's heavy and it's loud, and there's a lot of riffs, and then you get to like this really finger picking, kind of like chilled back, almost folky, you know, Going to California. And then, you know, as I got a little bit older too, like, you know, the lyrics really, you know, said something to me. So that was probably one of the really early. You know, I don't know how old I was. I was probably
it
like,
sounds like you
10,
were like
10, 11, you know, maybe, you know, somewhere in that range.
It seems that the wrath of the gods got a punch on the nose and it's starting to flow. I think I might be sinking. Throw me a line if I reach it in time. Meet you up there and the path runs straight.
So you heard Led Zeppelin and you heard that the rock.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the rock did, and the rock made you kind of want to like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was. It just, you know, I think Jimmy Page, in all those riffs, and you have these epic songs, and you know, just rock and roll. And then, you know, at the same time, like I said, I was listening to, you know, a lot of country records too. So, you know, I'm listening to Willie Nelson, and you know, like from the late 70s and early 80s, some of those records, and you know, Waylon, and then a lot of their duets, and got to hear all these really cool things.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mamas, don't let your babies.
But yeah, and you know, in the old country stuff, always, you know, I still listen to those same records, you know, that I listened to as a kid, because I still love them. But you know, and also kind of grew up in a smallish town, and you really, like, you know, at that time, really, like, I had the radio, and I didn't really have, you know, friends who weren't into, like, other than just some, you know, like punk and, you know, heavy metal and stuff like that. So I didn't have a lot of exposure to what was, like, really going on behind country radio, you know, like on the, you know, the underground or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That just wasn't really mainstream. So it wasn't until, you know, I moved to Austin and really got immersed into like a lot of things that you don't really have access to, and, you know, meet more people who have, you know, different influences also. And then you find those people you have things with common.
But, because, yeah, but before the internet, it was like you were at the mercy of your parents' record collection,
right.
whatever record collection you could possibly like pull together with your meager allowance,
you know,
or cassette tapes, the radio, and what your friends listened to, and anything else, anything kind of outside of the mainstream was really hard to access unless
you had
really
to have
looked.
Maybe a place that had a magazine, but then even to get exposed to that, like, you know, it's somebody's friend, or, you know, it's usually like, you know, the older brother went off to college, right? And he could like kick back some knowledge. There used to be on the Austin Music Network, I believe is what it was called, and they had like this All Request, Texas All Request, and you know, it'd be like at 3 a.m. or something, and you know, coming home from wherever, and you know, we'd always watch that at the house too. So that really got me back. I found out that there was, you know, country music, or people playing stuff that was country that wasn't necessarily like mainstream, and then it, you know, really just, it kind of changed. You know, I was playing in like some, you know, like metal bands and, you know, really heavy bands. And that really spoke to me as like, oh man, you can do other stuff. You know, you can still do country music and not sound like what's on the radio right now, you know, just really play good music, you know? But there was an Austin band and they put out a record maybe in like 2002 or three. I don't remember the year. It's the Weary Boys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They put out Good Times. And the song on there that, I mean, it still gets me fired up is Cruel Kareen.
Cruel Kareen, Cruel Kareena. Cruel Kareena, won't you lay it down? If you want someone to love you, better quit your rambling around.
The Weary Boys, really, I was like, I heard them and I said, you can still play like good country music, you know, and like, and they really opened my eyes up to, you know, that there's more going on. So then I kind of, you know, found other things, you know, like Whiskey Town or whatever, and got into, you know, Wilco and Uncle Tupelo, what, you know. But yeah, that song in particular just made me, you know, want to dance and stop my foot and rock and roll and country at the same time, you know.
Well, you smell like smoke and powder, and your spine looks like it's cracked. Whose pistol have you been shooting, honey? Looks like they
ever since you were 10, you've been attracted to this kind
Absolutely.
Of the mix of rock and roll and country. How can we bring the two worlds, like,
how can you
dad and mom put them together?
And I think that's probably one thing you hear in, you know, like Harvest Thieves sound is, you know, you can hear our influences, you know, and you can, it's a pretty eclectic thing, I guess, you know.
And below hear Bob Dylan's 78th Hangover by Harvest Thieves, and there it is. A little rock and roll, a little country, and at the heart of it all, the song. Uncle Tupelo, Led Zeppelin, the Weary Boys, all these bands helped them find the sound of the music that they were meant to make. And if you want to hear more Harvest Thieves, check out the This Song page on the KUTX website. I'll post a link to their guest DJ, My KUTX set, as well as to their Studio NA performance. And I'll also post a link to their video for Bob Dylan's 78th Hangover, which is set in Holy Mountain, a great club in Austin that no longer exists. It closed not too long ago, but watching the video makes me totally nostalgic, which also makes me such an Austinite. We're a real nostalgic breed. I'll also post a link to a really wonderful piece that Art Levy, who you heard interviewing Leon Bridges, produced about the late Paul Ray. We talked about Paul Ray's passing in the episode previous to this with Matthew Logan Vasquez. Paul was a DJ here at KUTX who hosted the universally loved Twine Time on Saturday nights, and this piece is just a really good listen. It'll make you fall in love with Paul all over again. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. This episode was produced and edited by myself, Elizabeth McQueen, and David Sanger. The Leon Bridges interview was recorded by Jake Perlman, and the Harvest Thieves interview was recorded by Art Levy. There he is again! Thanks to Art for interviewing Leon Bridges. You can hear Art on the air on KUTX on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help on the podcast. And our theme is Mahout by Austin's own excellent, hard-proof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or tweet us at thissongktx. You can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. And like I said, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.